It's tea time again. You are welcome to join me around the table as we feast from God's Word. It is our prayer here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church that this podcast will teach, encourage, and admonish us ladies to be the wives and mothers that He has designed us to be. May He overflow our cups today from His Word.
Hi there. We have learned the four temperaments. So this is the last lesson on this series, Tempering Your Child's Temperaments. So we looked at the choleric, the doer, the sanguine, the talker, the melancholic, the thinker, and the phlegmatic, the watcher. But you know, there are also 12 blends. In these blends, you will find one of your child's exact matches. Now, we're not going to go through every one of those blends. But for example, if your child is outgoing, very sociable, and a happy-going child, but you notice that they have to have order with all their toys, they love structure, then they probably are a San male. That's a sanguine and melancholy mix. The dominant temperament will be listed first, and then their secondary, of course, second. So that's why we say San male, that sanguine first temperament, and then the melancholy is the second. But usually all temperaments are in blend of two, with one being predominant. But you can find more information on these 12 temperament blends in Beverly Hayes' book that I referred you to. But you can look through these different temperament blends and you can find an exact match more than likely with your children. And you can also go in your mind and just think back to these four temperaments and just kind of figure out the blends for your child and what's the predominant temperament. But also, Dr. Jeremy Simpson taught Christian psychology for Foothills College. There are no longer classes for Foothills, but you can still obtain these 10 lessons on YouTube under the Foothills College of Biblical Studies page. Brother Jeremy Simpson does an awesome job breaking down these temperaments. But just as we continue to go into this lesson, just a warning to parents. Parents who may have a sanguine or choleric child that are known to be extroverts, that as they discipline their melancholy or phlegmatic child, they may not understand their weaknesses, and that may cause a conflict in the home. If one parent is introverted and the other is extroverted, then a lot of times the introverted parent will try to cater to the introverted child. And so I just want to encourage you that if that is in your home, I know Jonathan is an extrovert and then I'm an introvert. So I understood, for example, some of our children that had more introverted behaviors. So we had to come together as a husband and wife and explain to each other and try to help each other understand the temperaments of our children. That doesn't mean we didn't discipline, but we got on the same page before we went out and disciplined our children so that way there wasn't conflict or confusion in the home and that we were both on the same page with discipline our children. And so that's real important to communicate for us to understand the children's insecurities in the home. And so I had to do that with Jonathan, with some of our girls, that for help him to understand their insecurities and what they were going through, not that we didn't discipline them, that he would understand their temperament. But we also have to have absolutes in our home. We must base them on the scriptures. If we base our discipline upon what we did in the past, maybe from when we were young or when we did something wrong or something that we seen solely on those things, then we're not based on our disciplines on their on biblical principles, but on our temperaments themselves. So we need to remember that we must base discipline on biblical principles and not just our temperaments. So in other words, if I discipline Victoria because she loves to be around people and I get on to her because I tell her that she needs to be around people too much and that's a flaw, well, that's maybe I don't understand that because I'm more of an introvert than Victoria, but that doesn't mean she's wrong because she loves to be around people all the time. So I'm not going to discipline because of her temperament. I'm going to discipline her because she does something as an absolute in our home that's wrong biblically, such as lying or disobeying or dishonoring her parents. So I hope that makes sense that we need to base our discipline on biblical principles, not our temperaments ourselves. But each temperament must deal with pressure, whether it be lying, hothead, being a hothead, being depressed or having pride. You know why we all have to deal with that in our home and within ourselves is because we are born in sin. Each one of our children is born a sinner. So you may think a predominantly phlegmatic child is perfect. They're easygoing. They're just a watcher, but they're not. No matter the temperament, they all have flaws, and they're all going to go through a rebellious time in their life because they are born of the sin nature. We all are. So, what do we have to do, moms? We must go back to the Word of God. Remember, there's none righteous, no, not one. Remember, the Word of God is a life changer. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 states. I want to encourage you ladies to do these three things as we end this series. These are very important for us all, every day. Each day for you to walk in the Spirit as a parent. Every day we need to pray. Each day we need to wake up and pray for the Lord to break down us and who we are and fill us with Him. I pray every day the Lord help me to die to myself and to live through Him. Number two is to pray for salvation for our children and our babies. This will is what really changes their life. That is what changes him. There, each one of our children is that they know Him. And thirdly, to read the Word of God daily and to teach it to our children daily. That's what we need to teach our children to base their lives upon, as we base our lives upon this as our foundation. I sure don't have all the answers, and I have shared with you many of my mistakes as a parent through this series. So remember, we'll all make mistakes as parents. The main thing is to realize that we are dependent on the Lord each day. And guess what? Each day is a new day. I love this quote from Elizabeth Elliot. It states, "The process of shaping the child shapes also the mother herself." And I have seen this to be true. The Lord has taught me so many things through teaching my children. The Holy Spirit has spoken to me more times as I have taught my children than any other task that I have ever done. You know why? Because this is my purpose and the will of God for this season of my life, to train and narrow the road along with my husband in our home. Now, my husband preached an awesome message Wednesday evening, this past Wednesday evening, entitled, "Are We Living in Perilous Times?" You can find it on our church's podcast. But in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, Paul admonishes Timothy about living in the last days and what those last days look like and are like, excuse me, not just the last days, but also perilous times. Perilous, that word perilous means fierce times. So in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, I'll read that to you. "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. That's my biggest fear, is that I teach my children to be hypocritical. I don't want my children to have a form of godliness, but deny the power they are in. The power of God resting on their lives is what's going to sustain us all. And we need to be spirit-led. That way our children know and see the glory of God. And I'm thankful that we have a church, my husband pastors, that we see the power of God in it. That we need to train our children that way they can recognize the glory and the power of God, and they don't just have a form of godliness and that they're hypocritical. Oh, maybe that's why, as like I told you that being a melancholy temperament or part of that is my temperament. I don't want to teach my children just to have rules, to live by rules, but live in the Spirit of God, that they want to live for Him. And as they get saved and have their own relationship with God, that they'll live in His Spirit and that they will be Spirit-filled and not denying the power of God in their lives. And so, as we see this in the scriptures that we just read, that we must train our children to mold their character, that we're living in a wicked time. We must read and pray daily that we can walk in the Spirit, so we can mold and train our children's temperaments to be Spirit-filled and full of Him. We must fill our homes with Him so that we can leave our homes and be a light in the dark world. You know, light is the brightest in the darkest of night. But I pray this series has been a help to follow this next week. I will be releasing a testimony from one of our missionaries, Miss Marissa Hernandez. She will be speaking on barrenness and infertility. Even if you don't have an experience barrenness in your life, you may want to share this with other ladies who have battled this in their past or are battling this currently. But thank you again for listening.